Welcome to Sister Friends Cups and Conversation. I'm your host, Teresa Cooper. I'm glad that you've joined me. We're getting ready to have part two of the intimate conversation, male sexual abuse. We're going to talk about the trauma and the emotions that men face. It's going to be a great conversation. I hope you're ready for it. Let's go. Welcome to Sister Friends Cups and Conversation. I'm your host, Teresa Cooper, and I have my co-host,
Catherine Young, and I'm ready.
Yes, we are glad to be back, Kathy.
For season 8, could you believe it?
I know. It feels like we have been gone a long time.
But we come back with the thunder. That's what's important.
Absolutely. So we're glad to see our sister friends and even our guy friends.
Yes.
And so we're glad to be back. This is our second episode of Sister Friends Cups in Conversation, season 8. And we talked about male sexual abuse, male sexual trauma on our first episode. And the conversation was so informative. It was so intimate. And it was very real. And so we felt like it warranted a second episode.
Yes.
So we're going to just dig up just a little bit deeper. I hope you're ready. Share, call, get your sister friends around the table. Get your guy friends around the tables, your young men, your fathers, your brothers. And we're going to talk about sexual trauma from a male perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, today we have our two male guests here at the table with us.
All right. We're glad to be here.
Yes, we're glad to have you here. Before we get started, I want to introduce our cup. We're repeating our cup today.
These beautiful cups.
Okay. Join us.
Yes.
This is our spring cup for season 2. Thank you.
Yes.
And it's very lovely, full of flowers and like the gold embellishment.
Mm-hmm.
I love a beautiful cup.
Me too. It's beautiful.
Yes.
Springtime. Yes.
As you can see, we're ready to talk. Mm-hmm. And so at the table, we have my husband, Bishop Sean D. Cooper.
Thank you.
Senior. Thank you for joining me today.
It's an honor to be here.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're looking really spiffy.
All right.
All right. Now, hey, watch him more.
You gotta stay in the spirit.
My friend of 38 years, my partner in crime.
Yes, ma'am.
Good thing.
All right. It's a beautiful thing.
And we have with us today Dr. Antonio Butler.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Glad to be back again.
Amen.
It's good to have you with us. So are you all ready to talk? Dr. Butler, you have such a powerful, transformative testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us what you do for a living? And then just give us a little backstory on you are a survivor.
That's right.
Yes.
You are a champion.
Incredible.
You're a husband. You're a father. Mm-hmm. And just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. Antoine Butler, a pastor. I'm also a licensed mental health professional. Been doing that now for about 17 years.
Okay.
And so a lot of what we're talking about today has been on my own personal experience. I was raised by two people. Both of my parents were heroin addicts.
Okay.
And I grew up on the streets most of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Been a victim of abuse, neglect, molestation, slept in abandoned houses, lived on park benches, been in a life of crime, and did that a lot in my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Struggled with a lot of mental health issues, suicide, depression, anxiety. Got into foster homes and kind of bounced around doing that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Met Jesus Christ, my life got changed. And been married now going on 18 years, 3 boys, to which the doctor said my wife would never have kids.
Oh, wow.
A miracle,
And so my first child, we found out about him on Father's Day. Okay. And so we've been in the overflow.
Come on.
God's been really used my life to, I believe, to let people know that God still heals.
Yes.
And just use me as a testimony. So I believe that's really the my main purpose of being here.
Yeah. Well, it's very clear that Dr. Butler is a miracle.
Yes.
And thank you for sharing your life story and for being at the Sister Friends table with us.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. You know, I read a book called Echoes. It's the story of male survivors overcoming sexual trauma. And it impacted me in such at a deep level. I felt as if, Kathy, that we had to have this conversation.
Yes, yes.
We had to bring it to the Sister Friends audience, because many of us have fathers, we have sons, we have brothers. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in a position where I can be a safe place.
Yes.
Where I can have empathy, where I can have compassion for people that have experienced different things in life than me. But just especially because I'm a grandma of three boys.
Yeah.
And so, and how I can better protect them, how I can go to the next level in my parenting young men. I raised one son, and he was the love of my life, and we butt heads so much. We're actually more alike than we are not.
Yes, you guys are.
It's why we butt heads. But really, truly, besides his father.
Yes.
He is the love of my life.
He is.
And it's a bond between a mother and a son.
Yes. That's right.
It's just a different bond. And I have a daughter, and that bond is different.
Yes.
And Kathy, you're a boy mom.
A boy mom. And it's a Southern saying that goes, we baby those boys, but we raise those girls. Mm. And that's the truth, because it's something different with a mother and son dynamic. Yeah. Don't mean we don't love our daughters more or any less, but it's something about that man and that woman dynamic.
Yeah. So we wanted to share this conversation because we want to better equip you with, you know, some of the traumas that men go through.
Yeah.
We talk a lot in society about women, and we know that women are greatly impacted by assaults and traumas and rapes and just different offenses.
Right.
But we don't hardly talk about, you know, what it's like being a man in the world and the kind of trauma that men encounter as they're growing into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like this was going to be an important conversation, because as I was reading this book, and you might, you know, check it out on Amazon, it's called Echoes, and it's the story of male survivors overcoming sexual trauma. And there's like 14 brave men that are sharing their personal firsthand encounter story about sexual abuse and trauma that they've encountered.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I could only get to the third chapter before I was done because I was so, impacted and emotionally impacted in such a way. Kathy read the whole book.
I did. I struggled through it, but I was so, I was a little nosy because I wanted to get to the end.
Yeah, yeah.
But in between, I was nosy because I wanted to get to the end and hear everybody's story. And it just touched me so differently.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about shows, we talked about that book because it was so powerful. And, you know, my whole thing was, I was so happy that men were brave enough to do it.
Yeah. Yes, it definitely takes bravery. And so I want to just, on this episode, I want to continue to tackle some of the myths. The first episode, we talked about three myths, and we laid those out, and then we gave you the truth of that versus the myth that's out there. And they say 1 in 6 men have experienced, and Dr. Butler said it's probably more than 1 in 6 because those are just the numbers that were reported.
Yeah.
And so we know that men report less than women, even when we talk about domestic abuse.
That's right.
Men experience domestic abuse,
but
they don't report it because out of shame, out of, I don't know if it's fear more than it is shame, you know, but they don't report. And so we know that this is a real epidemic, especially when it comes to the mental health part of it. And so the fourth myth I want Dr. Butler to address is that people believe that only gay men can sexually abuse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the abuser, it don't matter their orientation. Now, that's just me just jumping the gun, telling you the myth is not true. But go ahead, Dr. Butler, would you speak to that?
Yeah, that's absolutely false. As a matter of fact, if you look at the statistics for those who are actually reporting, it's only a very small percentage of men who are part of these crimes that are actually identify as homosexual. Most of them are heterosexual. So it's not, that's not true at all.
Why do you think people would automatically go to that thought versus just you know, settling with, it's just evil. It's just, you know, people having lasciviousness, or people just having, you know, just an evil, predatory spirit. And that spirit doesn't care if it's male, female, or if it's, you know, what the sexual orientation is, if there is, it's a predatory spirit.
Right. Yeah.
But why do you think that people just, they, you know, would, it's easier for them to attach it to sexuality versus attach it to evil in the earth?
I think the hugest part of that answer is what you just said. It's just a lack of education there. But there's a phobia around homosexuality, and we tend to see a picture of somebody homosexual, an adult male with a young child. Typically, and you see a lot of that in Hollywood. See a lot of books and stuff. So it's not true at all. Sin is sin, you know. People from all different race, colors, and creeds, that spirit can prey on. So,
and when you are educated, then you're better equipped to protect. You're better equipped to be a better guard.
Right.
The Bible talks about, as parents, that we are to guard the gates of our house, guard the gates of our families. But if we have misinformation, the predator could be right there, but we don't see them because we've got, you know, a false narrative of what a predator is or who the predator is. Could you speak to that?
No, I absolutely agree, because if you think the person that's breaking into your house is the guy with the ski mask, when it's actually the guy with the white shirt and the khaki pants, you know, when he steals, you don't recognize him. So, no, I do agree with that. And it's unfortunate, and I'll say another side of that, Pastor T, it's unfortunate because people who really want to come out of that lifestyle have those stigmas attached to them. So they can't get help. Because now somebody's looking at you like, you're homosexual, so you must have molested a child. It's just not true. For most of them, it's not true. So a lot of times they can't, we talked about this last episode, they can't find a safe place because sometimes our church community, we'll put that stigma on people, and now you're not only a perpetrator, but you're into pedophilia. That's not always true. So they run away from the help. You know, and that's not everybody's story.
And I think another dynamic to that is if a female molests a boy, it becomes difficult for him to say it because it's a female. And
I'm working with a pastor right now with that.
And that was really my myth number six, is that the people take on the mindset, and I'll let you continue, Bishop, that if a male is abused by a female, it's like he got lucky. Oh, she teaching him something. He learning some skills. Our whole mindset about that, and it's not good. You know what I mean? Because especially if they're a child, if they're underage, you could be, you're distorting their whole view of sex and intimacy and all of the above. So the predator could be female.
It can be a female in the realm of the male. If a guy say, a young guy say, man, I was molested by Susie. And she's pretty, you know? And if the other guys know, they would say, man, what you crying about or whatever. It's truth. Like, you know, it's a badge of honor as opposed to molestation or rape. But as you're educated and, you know, you read and you recognize the psychological damage that it does to a young man, regardless of it being male or female. I have one gentleman that I know that was molested by a female. And she was an adult. He was young, teenager, and it caused him to despise female and take advantage of female and be abusive to females. He never went gay. It didn't right. affect him that way. Mm-hmm. But it made him dishonor, disrespect the female gender. So when he take her out, he would not open up the car door. There was no chivalry. Yeah. There was no real respect.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
He would sleep with several women and not care because it's almost like a payback situation. So
yeah.
it can affect a young man, of course, in the negative, mm-hmm. that he would overcompensate and be insensitive and abusive as well. Mm-hmm. And it took him getting in his 30s to realize that that was what was ticking in him. Mm-hmm. He was being abusive to the females based upon what he been through. And so when it was time to get married, God had to center him, had to deal with that mm-hmm. abuse and that trauma that he went through. Yeah. And you said you.
Yeah, I have a pastor that happened to him. It was a babysitter. And I think he was 12. But it was oral sex. Mm-hmm. And so that's all. She wouldn't do anything else with him. She would just do that.
Yeah.
And so he said, I can't be in any relationship where I don't have that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he's married. He pastors.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so he's just struggling in his marriage. And so I see that quite a bit. And I wanted to say something else, Pastor, mm-hmm. about
yes.
what you said earlier. You know, you can be sexualized too early.
Yeah.
Right. Male or
that's
female.
Right. That's yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. Song of Songs says something in chapter 8, verse 8. It says, do not awaken passion before it's time.
Yes. Mm.
That's what's happened to these kids.
Yes.
Their sexuality has
that's
been
so
awakened.
Powerful,
no
man.
Matter it's a male or female. It was awakened before it was time to be awakened. If you read the rest of that chapter, you see all the consequences of that. Struggles in marriage, struggle with work, struggle with relationship with your kids. I got a lady who's a if I said her name, y'all would know her. Beautiful singer, beautiful person. And she has a daughter, and her daughter wants to hug her and sleep with her and stuff like that and just be affectionate. She can't. She says, every time my daughter lays next to me, I want to have sex with her, mm-hmm. right? Because of what happened to her in her childhood.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. Right?
And so, you know, there's just those consequences of stuff, whatever the reason was, being
yeah.
opening up too early. There's serious spiritual consequences
yeah.
and sexual consequences for
yeah.
that, male or female doing that to you.
Yeah, wow, that's yeah. deep. Mm. So yeah. we're talking about the importance of, wow, of, I love what you said about not awakening.
Yeah.
Those that passion
yeah.
or awakening or arousing before it's time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's so important as sister friends that we understand that we are the guardians of
yes.
the innocence and the purity
yes.
Of our children, mm-hmm. whether they're female or whether they're male, but
yeah.
especially I would say in our males, because it's so important that we guard that we don't,
yeah.
you know, look at it as it's a badge of honor.
Yeah.
If our sons lose their virginity
yeah.
or if our, you know what I mean? It's not a badge of honor
yeah.
if they're a child.
Yeah.
And making sure that we're preparing them for the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And wow, that's a lot.
Let me say this, because I want to put some this particular thing. When we talked about the last episode and we brought in the church
mm-hmm.
portion of it, and we were talking about creating a culture that's safe and
yeah.
only God can really deliver in those circumstances,
right. yeah.
work out all of that. What if somebody watching and they say, well, the church is where it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're not trusting the church because of all the things that we can see the enemy doing in our now time, trying to discredit the church
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With all these different accusations. We don't know if they're true or false, but we know that God can deliver. How do we help those parents or those guardians that they need that culture, the church culture?
Right.
How do we get them there without them being, you know, don't have any trust in the church or, you know, how do we get these people to God?
Yeah. If I can answer that real
yeah.
quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to educate. And the
yes.
Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together,
yes.
which means that Jesus created the church for a reason.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And there are imperfections in the church.
Yes.
God don't give you everybody, but He give you somebody.
Somebody, and that's good.
And if you have been violated by a particular church congregation, it doesn't mean that every church is
that's
like
right.
that.
That's right. That's good.
Just as many, let me say, even more churches that are whole than those that are infected.
That's right.
And so you have to believe that God has a place for you.
That's right.
And that you're called to that place. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit will lead you to a safe place, a culture mm-hmm. of environment where you can get healing and you can be delivered. Broken trust happens. It happens in marriages. It happens in families. You could get married and have a bad divorce and not want to get married again because of that experience. Mm-hmm. Well, because of your experience don't mean that right. every marriage is
That's
dysfunctional.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it is in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I would say that a person, okay, the churches have imperfection. The Bible never said it, the church will not have imperfection, mm-hmm. but the church also have 7,000 having bowed to Baal.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
good.
And the more you educate yourself with what God has created, the more you can understand there is a safe place.
Yes.
There is a place of healing.
Yes.
There is a place of deliverance. You just can't give up and allow that to be the fate as what happened to you, you know. It's a situation that all churches are like that, but that's not true.
Right. So you've got to isolate your situation from the broader community mm-hmm. because it would be that one, whoever that abuser was, whoever that violator was, mm-hmm. And even though they may have been attending in the assembly
right.
that
yes.
you were in,
that's
it's
right.
not necessarily the assembly
right.
as
yes.
much as it is the violator.
That's
but then
right.
we'll take it a little further. What if you went and you reported it to the authority at the assembly,
uh-huh.
And so the authority knows about it, but they didn't respond properly.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that same situation, you might remove yourself, like even like when we talk about a domestic violence,
mm-hmm.
remove yourself from the location, mm-hmm. from the surrounding, is what's safe.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But that place is not indicative of the entire, like
That's right.
it may be 10 other
yes.
churches on your street or
mm-hmm.
50 more churches within your city. So they're not all like that one location.
That's right.
So there are, you know, action steps that you can take.
Right.
And of course, you know, a therapist mm-hmm. can help you to get to that point,
yes.
to understand that you have to isolate. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because the thief, which is the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Sure.
That's three steps.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to steal.
That's right.
Then he wants to kill. Yeah. And then he wants to destroy. And the
yes.
destruction is not just you, but he wants to destroy generations.
Yes.
Right.
You know, he wants to destroy the seed that's in you. There's generations mm-hmm. in you. So, you know, that's the vital part of why you need to follow the steps so
mm-hmm.
that you can get to the solution so that you mm-hmm. can be liberated and not carry that on your back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is just... It touches my heart what you're saying about this mama.
Yeah.
That she can't, you know, be intimate with her daughter because of something that somebody did to her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's going to take an anointing. It's going to take a skill. It's going to take a professional to help her unpack
yes.
all of that
mm-hmm.
to get to the place that she can be the mother that she needs to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you might want to add to that, Dr. Butler, before we go to the next myth?
No, I agree with Bishop. I love what you just said, though, because sometimes when things happen to us, we can blame the community.
Yeah.
And it's not the community, it's the person. My yeah. son got beat up in school. You know, we deal with it. I probably send him back to school. And the reason why is because he's got the people there that care for him,
mm-hmm.
supposedly teachers, and
right.
he needs his education there.
Mm-hmm.
But if the school is not able to address that, I'm probably going to pull them out of the school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think the same thing is true in ministry. And you got to be careful. The devil is sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll use somebody. And
yeah.
I know we're talking about a serious transgression.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he'll use somebody to bring something to your life. And it's really that one person.
Mm-hmm.
And take your family away from a whole community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And now the trauma is what we call complex. Because
yes.
now it's compounded.
Yeah.
And now I took him away from Bishop and Pastor Teresa
yeah.
and
mm-hmm.
my Sunday school, which were people who were really able to help me minister and heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I would just say you got to have discernment to be careful about that. It's not the more than likely it's not the church unless it's a cult.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we got to identify as that's the person that's the perpetrator. And if it's a healthy community, the community will deal with that person.
Right.
Yeah.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
So this the next myth is that male survivors will abuse others. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a male-female thing. I just think that's a human thing. We hurt people, hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not specific to a male. I think males can take the brunt of the way that we respond to our pain, which is different. Men tend to respond to pain a little bit more physically and a little bit more mm-hmm. aggressively.
Okay.
So sometimes that's what's put on the screen. But we all respond when we get hurt. If we don't have an outlet, we just turn around and hurt people. That's just the way that we do. So that's definitely a myth. But,
yeah.
Do you think that could be one of the reasons why men don't open up? Is because they're internally battling the fear that they could be an abuser, like perpetrate something that was done to them?
I don't know how scientifically true it is. I haven't done the research, but I've seen the opposite.
Yeah.
I actually have seen, and I was the person that was like this. I grew up with pimps and hustlers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there was a way that you talked to and treated women. That was my paradigm. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I got married, my wife from the hood. She's like, who are you talking to? Okay, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've seen the opposite. And I work mm-hmm. with teenage girls whose parents are in domestic violence situations. Mm-hmm. Sadly, they turn around and end up in domestic violence situations themselves. So what I see is it's just a learned behavior that you think is right.
Okay, mm-hmm. a learned behavior that you
until
think
you
is right.
Until you bump yeah. into something moral, legal, or ethical. Okay. You bump up against those three, it's like,
yeah.
whoa.
Yeah.
All right. And if you don't have that, then you don't know it. A kid will stay in a gang as long as his behavior is moral, legal, or ethical in the gang.
Yeah.
The guy will continue with his behavior unless those three things exist. If those three things don't exist, when you bump up into that, then now you figure out something is wrong. So you don't know it's wrong.
Okay.
Right? And I mean, you got some kind of moral compass in a sense, but you don't. Mm-hmm. I thought it was right. You know,
yeah.
raise your voice. You cuss me out, I cuss you out. I just mm-hmm. thought that's what you did. You
yeah.
know? But, you didn't know. So I think the opposite is true. And sometimes it takes years to get away from that thing that's become ingrained in you.
Yeah.
Because my natural response is to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
that's what you can't survive on the streets with being shy and no, you gotta kind of get you before you get me.
Yeah.
Right? That was years of that mm-hmm. being in me. But I thought that was the right way to handle a disagreement.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah.
So I think the opposite is sometimes mm. true.
That's
yeah.
good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I think why the gospel is so essential when a child have been abused or anybody in abuse. And mm-hmm. this is not a story of molestation, but I remember seeing my dad abuse my mom mm-hmm. physically.
Yeah.
They get in fist fights and things of that nature. And they say you become a product of your environment
right.
because
mm-hmm.
you think that that's just the way
right.
it is because mm-hmm. that's the lifestyle you're around. But when Jesus came into my heart,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
He gave me a nature change,
okay.
what was
yes.
natural.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's
right.
the thing happened. Instead of being an abuser, the Lord helped me, and I'm still working on it, becoming a nurturer,
yeah.
nurturer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of abusing women,
yeah.
I want to be a supporter.
Yeah.
I want to, instead of having, being unprotective or being violent, no, this becomes a safe place. This becomes a place of nurture. This becomes a place of healing. And so that's why the gospel is so important to children that have been abused sexually. Because what the Holy Spirit comes in to do is to heal them of that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being refraining from sexual touching or sexual intimacy or being afraid or being abusive or whatever, they become, when they get married, the greatest sexual nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
One that seeks education and wanting to please their mate, not mm-hmm. wanting to bring any foreign substance into the
yeah.
bedroom. You know, God mm-hmm. will help them to create the balance on the other side. That's what the gospel do.
Yes.
It heals, it reconciles, it
yeah.
brings deliverance. And that's why we're here is to tell those that have been abused
yeah.
sexually that God could deliver.
Yeah.
He can heal you.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I love so much about God is that he's the God of the entirety of our lives.
Yeah,
that's good.
And that sometimes the grace is there, something that's happened to us as a child, and then we become a young adult. And it's at that age as a young adult that he helps us to confront it. Yeah. Or, you know, we become, you know, in midlife and before we can actually find a safe space to actually speak to it or to share it or to tell somebody. And he's the God in our midlife. Yeah. I mean, it's the love and the care that he has for us, to me, is like, that's why I serve him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's because he's the God of my entire life, you know? Yeah. And when people know that about him, then they know that he's so patient and he's kind. And he orders, not just, we read the scripture where it says he orders our footsteps, mm-hmm. but he literally puts people in our path.
Yeah.
And he helps us to get to where he's been trying to take us all along. Yeah. Because ultimately, he wants us to be healed.
Yeah.
It's not, he doesn't want us to live under that cloak of silence mm-hmm. and caring, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The shame or the disappointment or the fear. Mm-hmm. He wants us to be free. And that's why this conversation was important for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we're living in a window right now in the world where people they're not that interested in what men are going through.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Any given day we'll hear something about what women are carrying.
Now you're preaching. You really saying something.
What women are going through.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I don't know if the world is just caught up to, you know, the women's voice, because I mean, mm-hmm. it is a man's world. It is.
Yes.
But at the same time, we just don't have those conversations where we're wanting to hear what are men going through.
Yeah.
And what are they carrying,
yeah.
you know? And especially in this, on this topic, wouldn't you say, Kathy?
I would say, and then also, I love what you said, and it goes back to the sovereignty of God and how we let him lord over our lives. Mm-hmm. What do we do when you're in a position in church, pastor, bishop, pastors, and this didn't happen, and if it happened in our life, as it happened in yours, but society has taught us to just not, I don't claim that. I speak this into my existence, that I manifest life and all these different things without getting the help they need, mm. without or feeling that shame, which you talked about, to say, OK, Bishop, this is what happened to me, because the enemy will tell you, now you a preacher, you're going to tell them your business.
Mm-hmm.
And then we die with those secrets,
right.
or we live in pain and the things that we need to help others with, which God allowed us to go through. We can't, because the enemy has muffled us, put us on mute, be quiet, because it's going to get out there. How did that affect you when you found out, you say you were 33
mm-hmm.
and the memory came back?
Yeah.
What did you do? You were pastoring then?
I wasn't pastoring, but I was an associate assistant pastor. Yes. I wasn't a full-time pastor, but yes.
What did the enemy say to you, or how did you feel, okay, I know that my testimony could help somebody if I talk, because you could have stayed quiet.
Yeah, I've always used my testimony since college, okay. a part of my testimony to help people. I just never used that part, the sexual part.
Okay. Mm.
So that was the first time. I remember sitting on the edge of my bed thinking, like, what happened to you? Number one, and then number two. This answers a lot of questions.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Should I remember?
So how did you feel, though, in regards to, I know that God going to use this somewhere in my life to help people?
I didn't think that at that time that God would mm-hmm. use that. I just remember thinking, this answers a lot of questions. And so I had learned most of my life to not explore my feelings.
Okay.
So it wasn't a type of thing. I felt a certain way in the moment. I learned to just kind of push through stuff and ignore it.
Right.
Okay.
And so I don't think I really felt anything in the moment. But I've always been kind of cognizant of my wife and my family. So the thing that was spinning through my head is like, okay, now how can I go make this right with my wife? Now I got answers. Like, I remember going and having a conversation and say, baby, I remember what happened mm-hmm. to me. And this explained this and explained it. And you know what she said? She said, I already knew.
See? Mm-hmm.
She said, I already knew.
That's a
powerful
woman, man.
Absolutely.
She said,
yes.
I already knew. So it didn't turn into me being able to really talk about it probably to maybe a year. Because I wasn't delivered.
Yes.
In that area. Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
I get it.
I
yes.
wasn't delivered. But once I did, I was like, okay, this is like being homeless and everything else. Now this is a repertoire to add to give God glory.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so
that's good.
So that's kind of
yeah.
how it happened.
Yeah. Yes. And I get that. It's so important that you, because you said the word, I wasn't delivered.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
so there is a process because there mm-hmm. are those repercussions. Is lack of a better word right. that will happen once it's spoken yeah. in the atmosphere.
Yes.
I'm sure it was a great relief.
It was. Yes.
But
it
then
was.
There's also, you know, the repercussions of the people that you're connected to
yeah.
Yeah.
that maybe didn't have nothing to do with it, but still it's the level, the depth of what you're sharing
yeah.
Still could it, impacts them.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, and all that, you know, plays it plays a bigger picture. You know, how do you get men to be more vocal and more vulnerable about the things that are really detrimental to their mental health and to their souls? How do you, what's the one thing you think besides respect? Because I know but that's in a marital relationship, or does it work outside of a marital
I'm
relationship?
That to Bishop. I went to Bishop yesterday. Bishop, give me some wisdom over there.
So basically, yeah. you're saying, what do we do?
Do you wait on them, or what else can you do to help get them to the healthy place that they need to be?
If you recognize, like his wife did, mm-hmm. that there is something there that perhaps he's embarrassed to say, or sometimes you get tied up in your emotions. You don't know how you got there. You don't know why you got there. And you feel personally responsible because you haven't sorted it out.
Right.
But his wife discerned it. Mm-hmm. And she probably discerned what he didn't discern because mm-hmm. she had a revelation on it before he did.
Mm-hmm. Sound like she was a patient woman.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. Listen.
Like she waited.
I'm like, you, I'm like, you knew how you knew. I didn't
yeah,
know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So wow. I think yeah. observation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to observe, which means you got to be watching.
Yeah.
And then I think is revelation. Mm-hmm. Like the prayer, the Holy Spirit has to reveal, like the Holy Spirit revealed it to her. So she observed. God gave her a revelation. And then impartation.
Mm.
She was able to impart.
Mm.
She created a safe place. Mm. That he was comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm.
And she created that safe place that not just talk, but impart.
Mm-hmm.
Impart means you got to have some type of insight to give of yourself.
Okay.
To you know what I mean? Because yeah. sometimes we can talk and not impart. We can
yes.
just talk about it, but we have not did the investigation, the observation, so that when we talk, we're not just talking from emotions that's or talking good. What I feel, I think,
yeah.
there's a knowing.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And I think through prayer, and especially those that are female, you guys are powerful because you're nurturers.
Yeah, yeah, and I was thinking, like, one of the things yes. that it took me a long time to get there, Kathy, but I with my son, where he just needed my presence,
mm-hmm.
and it needed me to listen to what the words that he was saying,
mm-hmm.
and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need my advice. He didn't need me to. He didn't need my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he might mosey around to it, maybe another day, another conversation, but I only got that other day, another conversation, if I first gave him just my presence.
Yeah.
He just needed to unload
yeah.
and not me try to fix it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I went wrong because I was always trying to fix it.
Mm-hmm. And your response.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because he was like, Mama, calm down.
Yeah,
yeah. I was that mama.
The animation.
Yeah.
The animation of Thor, man.
Yes, who did it? Where they at?
Yeah.
And he didn't want to hear that. So I would go from level 1 to level 10.
Yeah.
Trying to fix it.
And my husband be like, see, you done messed it up. You're
right.
going to shut down again.
Right.
Yeah.
So
you had to, you learned some wisdom.
Yes,
and
I
you
did.
Just, and listen to what he say. And now he calls me more.
Yeah.
Let me just ask you something. And I let him talk. And I throw it back in his court.
Mm-hmm.
What you think you ought to do?
That's good.
Yeah. So
yeah.
it's that response modem.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Bishop, what you said is what happened to me. You're talking about my wife. Because there's a lot of people in my life who's shown me sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know where you come from, helped me out, took me in, fed me and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right.
My wife was the first person, I didn't know what it was then, ever to show me compassion.
Yeah.
And I realized what it is when I saw the scripture. Compassion is you, for me, the life of Jesus, you walk with people until they're ready to manifest.
That's
and
good.
And it just happened on that day. I felt the safest I've ever felt before.
Wow.
It was like, it was her compassion. She was the only. She was the first person that was ever compassionate towards me.
That's powerful. Yeah. She said, walk with me until they're ready to manifest.
That's my definition.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Which is patience and all that.
All the other stuff you gotta deal with. And
absolutely. Well, I want to end this session with two scriptures, and I really felt like the Lord gave this to me. So if you're a man watching, and you've been listening to us talk about man things and what a man needs and what a man goes through, the scripture that I have for you is Psalms 35:1. And you can say this, you can claim this for yourself. And he says, contend, Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. That's the God that you serve. If you're serving him, you need to know that you can ask him to contend with those who contend with you.
Yes.
And then Jeremiah 20:11 says, but the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutors will stumble.
Yes.
They cannot defeat me. Whatever it is that you're holding, whatever it is that you haven't let go of, it cannot defeat you. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Take that scripture and make it your own and know that you won't be humiliated, but those that are trying to humiliate you will be, because God is fighting for you.
That's good.
Thank you for joining us today on this most meaningful conversation. Thank you for being a part of season 8. It's going to be just a great season, and I'm glad that you're joining us. Don't forget, Something to Sip On is next. Sister friends, thank you for joining me today. What a very powerful conversation we had with Dr. Butler, Bishop Sean, and of course with my co-host, Catherine Young. It was so intimate. I know that it helped you. I know that it encouraged you. And most of all, I believe that it informed you. We're going to do better. We're going to help our men and their he emotions as they transition. Thank you so much for being a part of this conversation. Season 8 is going to be great. God bless you. Okay, well, this is Something to Sip On. That was a heavy conversation. I pray that it blessed you, that it was informative to you, that you can take some tools and make a difference in the men's that are in your life, the men that are in your life. He emotions are real. Respect them. That's my Something to Sip On today. Kathy?
I'm going to say this. The Word of God tells us that God is close to the brokenhearted and those whose spirits are crushed.
Yeah.
God have us. Just like we were talking about early, let him be the sovereign God in your life. And remember, your response, parent, guardian, is everything.
Dr. Butler?
There's an old African proverb that says, if a child doesn't feel the warmth of his village, then he'll burn it down so he can feel it. So I'll say to each and every one of us to put our arms around our babies and our kids and hold them tight as we can, and make sure that we always find out what the vulnerable spots are in our young people and love on them as much as possible.
That's good.
Because we do not want them to burn it down. I got Bishop.
I would say, if you're broken as a young man, or if you've experienced sexual abuse or any type of abuse at all, pursue to have the hard conversations. A lot of times we avoid the hard conversations, but the hard conversations are necessary for our productivity. Mm-hmm. So pursue to have the hard conversations. And the second one is
when you do it unto the Lord, trust the process.
Yes.
Because it may not happen immediately.
Mm.
And you got to be able to be vulnerable, and you got to trust the process and not try to disrupt it with trying to stop it. Because once God's hand get in it, you have to trust his hand to bring it to fruition, whatever you believe in God for.